Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word, and I am Pastor Steve. And this show is for Friday, November the 25th, 2016. And we are going to be covering 1 Samuel chapter 3 and 4. So this is when Shemuel, which is the Hebrew for Samuel, was just a young boy. And he was serving under Eli, the priest. Okay, he was the high priest at the time. So let's get started in chapter 3, verse 1. The boy Shemuel ministered to Yahweh before Eli. The word of Yahweh was rare, 3, 3, 6, 8, that's Yakar, in those days. Visions, 2, 3, 7, 7, that's Chazon, were not widespread, and that's Nifratz. And ministered means he did all the work in the temple. Okay, he did the cleaning, well, it wasn't a temple, it was actually just the tabernacle. He had to make sure everything was done. He was basically a servant. Verse 2, and it was at that time when Eli lay down to sleep in his place that his eyes had begun to grow dim, 3, 5, 4, 4, so he could not see. In other words, his sight was failing. Verse 3, the lamp, 5216 of Elohim, had not yet, 2962, gone out. And Shemuel was laid down in the temple, 1964, of Yahweh, where the ark of Elohim was. In other words, he was in the circle of the big tent. Verse 4, called out Yahweh to Shemuel, and he replied, behold me, 2009. That means Hineni, and it means here I am. And he didn't know who was calling him. So verse 5, and he ran to Eli and said, behold me, for you called me. And he replied, I did not call you. Return and lie down. And he went and lay down. Okay. Verse 6. And Yahweh called yet again, Shemuel. And Shemuel rose up and went to Eli and said, behold me, for you called me. In other words, here I am, you called me. And he replied, I called not, my son. Return and lie down. Verse 7. Shemuel did not yet know, 3045, Yahweh, nor was the word of Yahweh yet revealed, 1540, to him. He was just a boy. He didn't have personal contact with Yahweh yet as an adult man. Well, here we go, verse 8. And Yahweh called Shemuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, behold me, for you called me. Ah. And Eli understood, 995, now that is discernment, understanding, enlightenment understood that Yahweh had called the boy. Verse 9, therefore Eli said to Shemuel, go, lie down, and it shall be if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Yahweh, for your servant hears. So Shemuel went and lay down in his place. Yeah, pardon me, I have to mute the mic occasionally, folks. I'm doing a lot better. Yahweh's healing hand is on me and my bronchitis is backing off a bit, but it's not all the way gone. But I'm able to get the shows out. Verse 10, and Yahweh came and stood there, 33:20, and called at other times. Shemuel, Shemuel. Then Shemuel replied, speak, for your servant hears. And Yahweh said to Shemuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of all who hear shall tingle. That's 67:50. He's getting ready to put it on Israel again. In that day I will fulfill 6965, that's Akim, literally make to stand against Eli, all which I have spoken against his house from the beginning, 2490, to the ending, 3615, as completion. Okay, it's going to be completion. I declared to him that I will condemn 8199 his house forever for the iniquity of which he knows. In other words, he wasn't taking action against his sons. Because his sons, this is one word, made contemptible, 7043, Mekalilim. Okay, Elohim, and he did not rebuke them. 3543 to rebuke. Okay, and the Elohim part is in the Septuagint, but not in the Hebrew text that I had. Verse 14. Therefore I swore, 7650, to the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be covered, 3722, Yitzkaper, by sacrifice, 2077, or grain offering, 4503, forever. Oh boy. His sons, the two sons, were really doing dirt. And Yahweh is going to smite him, literally, just bad. Verse 15. And Shemuel lay down until the morning and opened the doors of the house of Yahweh, because they had gates on the outside of the tent. They had physical gates. And Shemuel feared to tell Eli the vision, 4759. That's Hamara'ah. Verse 16. Then Eli called Shemuel and said, Shemuel, my son. And he answered, behold me. In other words, here I am. Verse 17. And he said, what was the thing that was said to you? Please do not hide it from me. Elohim do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the things he spoke to you. Shemuel really loved Eli. He was like a son to him. And this is going to hurt him. But he told him the whole truth. Verse 18. And Shemuel reported everything to him and hid nothing from him. And he replied, "It is Yahweh. He will do what is good in his sight." Total, absolute submission. Because he knew his sons were going to be cut off. And he realized it was just. And it hurt him, but, you know, that's, of course, he was the father to these two boys that were now priests and were doing wrong. And you know it hurt him. Verse 19, and Shemuel grew up, and Yahweh was with him, and none from all his words fell to the ground. And this means his prophecies all came true. Anything he said came from Yahweh. Yahweh anointed him as one of his prophets. Okay, had to clear my lungs a little bit there, folks. Verse 20, and all Israel from Dan to Be'er Sheba knew that Shemuel was truly a prophet of Yahweh. That's how they tested prophets. If they said a bunch of stuff and it didn't come true, they were false prophets, like we have today. But if they do come true, then he's a true prophet. That's what Yahweh said. This is how you test them. Verse 21, and Yahweh appeared again in Shiloh, because Yahweh revealed himself to Shemuel in Shiloh with the word of Yahweh. Okay, that ends chapter 3, and chapter 4 is where the word of Yahweh, what he has said, is going to come to pass on Eli's sons. And it's going to be very devastating. This is not a long, we may get more than two chapters done today, because these are short. These are short chapters. Oh, I had to get a drink. I'm very dry. But this is where the Pelishtim, that's the Philistines, capture the Ark of Yahweh, the Ark of the Covenant. And it's bad. Verse 1 of chapter 4. And the word of Shemuel came to all Israel. Israel went forth to meet, 71:25, that's to meet in battle, meet the Pelishtim, 64:30, in battle, and encamped beside Eben Haezer, 72. They have Ebenezer in the King James, and that means the stone of help. Okay, Eben Haezer, 72, in your Strong's Concordance in the Hebrew. And the Pelishtim encamped, 64:30, in Aphek, 6:63. So they were getting ready to go at it. Verse 2, and the Pelishtim arrayed themselves, 6186. That means to put themselves in battle order. They arrayed themselves to meet Israel. And when they permitted 5203 battle, now the 5203 is unclear here. Watitosh. It's akin to 5414, but it's an odd word, and its meaning isn't really clear. So I'm just going to say, you know, it says permitted. It's something like that, but we really don't know. That's one of the words that's been muddied down through the centuries, and we're really not sure. So I said it's Watitosh. When they permitted battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistim, and they slew of the battle line 4634 in the field about 4,000 men. Okay, they lined up and just went at it. This is the primitive way of doing battle. They just marched up to one another and started hacking with their swords. Verse 3, when the people came into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "For what reason has Yahweh smitten us today before the Philistim? Let us fetch 3947 Nikika. Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hands of our hated enemies." They were starting to worship the Ark of the Covenant and thought it might save them. It was just a physical object. The only one that can actually save them was Yahweh. That was just an object where he appeared. You know, by that was its use. So they were making another mistake there. Verse 4, you can reference verse 4 in Exodus 25, verse 22. So the people sent to Shiloh that they bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh of hosts, which dwells between the cherubim, that's the cherubs, 3742, and the two sons of Eli with the Ark of the Covenant of Elohim, Hophni and Phinehas. Okay, these were the two priests that were doing wrong. They were the sons of Eli. Okay, they were going to go into the battle zone with the ark. Verse 5. When the Ark of the Covenant came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout. So the land echoed with it. That's 1949, echoed. When the Philistim heard the noise of the shouting, they said, "For what reason is the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Ibri?" 5680, that's Hebrews in English. And they knew that the Ark of Yahweh had come into the camp. The Philistim were afraid, for they said, "Elohim has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe to us, for there had not been the like of this before this time." Verse 8, "Woe to us, who shall deliver us from the hand of this mighty," that's 117, "Elohim. This Elohim smote Mitzrayim," that's Egypt, "with all the plagues in the wilderness." Be Strong, 2388, and Become, 1961, Men, 582, Now, Strong shows 376 here, but it is not. It is Anashim, 582. Okay. It's similar to 376, but Anash and Enosh show it to be 582. And other research material confirms that. Become men, O you Pelishtim. Okay. Lest, 6435, you serve, 5647, the Ibri, as they have served you. Become men and fight. Okay, they had it over the Hebrews for quite some time. And they didn't want the situation to be reversed. Okay, well, the Antichrist Zionist Jews have had it over true Israel for quite some time. And they are fighting desperately because they don't want the tide to turn, but it is irreconcilable because Yahweh is going to overthrow their financial empire. He is doing it as we speak. They are going to be destroyed. Verse 10, and the Pelishtim fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man to his tent, and there was a very great slaughter. For they fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers, 7273, that's Ragali. Verse 11, and the ark of Elohim was taken, and the two sons of Eli were slain, Kophni and Pinchas. That's Yahweh's prediction. He said, this is what I'm going to do. They will both be slain the same day. And they were. Verse 12. A man of Benjamin, that's Benjamin, ran from the battle line and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent and with dirt upon his head. Okay, the rending of clothing, ripping your clothes, and the casting of dust upon your head were signs of grief and mourning. Verse 13, when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat of honor by the wayside, waiting, 6822. For his heart trembled for the Ark of Elohim. He was worried about the Ark of the Covenant. And when the man came into the city and reported, all the city cried out. This was just terrible. I mean, this was their main, the Ark of the Covenant was super important in those days. Just really, they couldn't imagine pagans having the ark. But they sure did. They took it. Verse 14. When Eli heard the noise of the outcry at 6818, he said, for what reason is the noise of this tumult? 1995. And the man came with haste and reported to Eli. Verse 15. Now Eli was 98 years of age and his eyes were dim. 6965. And he could not see. probably had cataracts. Verse 16, and the man said to Eli, I came from the battle line, and I fled on foot, and that's one word, 5127, today from the battle line. And he said, what becomes of the matter, my son? Verse 17, and thee, this is all one word in Hebrew, bearer of tidings, 13:19, answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistim, and there has been a great slaughter of the people, and your two sons also, Cophni and Pinnacus, are dead, and the ark of Elohim is taken. Oh boy. Oh. Verse 18. And it was when he made mention of the ark of Elohim that he fell from upon the seat of honor backwards. 3:22. By the side of the gate. And his neck broke, 7667, and he died because he was an old man. He just fell over and broke his neck because he was an old man and heavy, 3315. And he had led Israel 40 years. Verse 19, the daughter-in-law, the wife of Pinnacus, was pregnant, 20:30, about to give birth. And when she heard the news, 8:052, that the ark of Elohim was taken and that her father-in-law and husband were dead, she bowed herself, 3766, and delivered because her pains, her birth pains, 6735, came upon her. Verse, and it killed her also. Verse 20, at the time of her death, those who stood by her, 5324, said to her, fear not, for you have borne a son. But she did not answer, nor put it, 7896, to mind, 3820. 3820 is also heart, but the Hebrew idiom has the heart as the center of thought, and the Greek has it as the center of emotions. It's directly opposite. Verse 21. And she named the boy Ichabod, 350, saying, the glory is removed, 1540, from Israel, because the ark of Elohim was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. Okay. Ichabod means there is no glory. Verse 22, and she said, the glory is removed from Israel because the ark of Elohim is taken. They made their own death, the two priests did, and they were defiling the priesthood, and he said, I'm going to kill them. Yahweh said that, and he did. He used a Philistim to do it, but uh, Israel was foolish, and they brought the Ark of the Covenant there, thinking that that object would save them. Something like the bronze serpent that Moshe made. Israel worshipped it as an idol, and Hezekiah later on had to destroy it. 2 Kings 18, chapter 18, verse 4. And Israel had bad leadership through Hophni and Phinehas, and Eli refused to discipline them. So Yahweh was forced to teach Israel a harsh lesson through the defeat in battle, and the lesson was rely on Yahweh, not some holy object. And we got plenty of time here. I'm going to get into chapter 5 as well. Those were short chapters, and chapter 5 isn't all that long. It's only 12 verses. This is verse 1 of chapter 5. The Pelishtim took the Ark of Elohim and brought it from Eben Haezer to Ashdodah, 795. That's Ashdod. When the Pelishtim took the Ark of Elohim, they brought it into the house of Dagon, 1712. That's the fish god, and set it by Dagon. Verse 3. And rose early the Ashdodim, 795. Those are the people of Ashdod. The next morning, and behold, pardon me, I'm losing it, folks. Just a second. I got to laughing so hard, I lost it. Dagon was fallen upon his face upon the ground before the Ark of Yahweh. And they took Dagon and returned him to his place. I can't help it. Verse 4. Rising early the next morning, behold, Dagon was fallen on his face upon the ground before the Ark of Yahweh, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off onto the threshold, 4670, only the trunk of Dagon was left upon him. And the trunk here is a fill in English, because there is no word in the Hebrew as to what was left. But you assume if his hands and his head were cut off, nothing but the body was left. Verse 5. Therefore none of the priests of Dagon or any that comes to Dagon's house tread, 1869, upon the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. That was a doorway threshold, and nobody will step on it. They hop over it. Because Yahweh cut him up. Oh. Verse 6. But heavy, 3513, was the hand of Yahweh toward the Ashdodim. Because they had the Ark of the Covenant in a pagan temple. He devastated them, 8074, with tumors, 6076. He smote, 5221, Ashdod and its territories, 1366. When the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the Ark of Elohe Israel, that means the God of Israel, shall not abide with us because his hand is harsh, 7185, upon us and upon Dagon, our God, Eloheinu, little g God. Yeah, he cut his head and hands off. Verse 8, they sent and gathered all the lords of the Philistim to them, and that were their lords. It's more like tyrants, okay? Rulers of individual cities, and said, what shall we do with the ark of Elohe Israel? And they replied, let the ark of Elohe Israel go around to Gath. And they carried the ark of Elohe Israel to Gath. And it was that after they had gone around, the hand of Yahweh was against the city with a very great panic, 4103, that's Mahuma, and the men of the city, both small, 6996, Mikaton, that means people that were not important, just the little people, the regular common folk, and great, 1419, that means the rich guys, the powerful, by breaking out, 8368, on them tumors, 6076. He smote them, 5221. And it's Ophelim for tumors. Verse 10. Then they sent the ark of Elohim to Ekron, 6138. And it was as the ark of Elohim came to Ekron, the Ekronim, 6139, the people of Ekron, cried out, saying, they have brought around the ark of Elohe Israel to us to slay us and our people. They heard what was going on. They were terrified of the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 11, they sent and gathered all the lords of the Philistim and said, send away the Ark of Elohe Israel and return it to its own place that it does not slay us and our people. Because there was the panic of death. That's Mehumath Maweth. In all the city, the hand of Elohim was very heavy there. Verse 12, and the men that did not die were smitten with tumors, and the cry for help of the city rose up to the sky. It's emerods. In the King James V for Ophel, and the plural is Ophelim, and it does not mean hemorrhoids. King James has got it wrong. It means tumors. And all the dictionaries and concordances I have all concur. So the King James has made an error, said hemorrhoids. Emerods. And we still have a lot of time. Let me see how long verse chapter 6 is. It's only 21 verses. Chapter 6, the return of the ark. The ark of Yahweh was in the country, 7704, of the Philistim 7 months. The Philistim called for the priest and the diviners, 7080, saying, what shall we do with the ark of Yahweh? Make known to us with what shall we send it to its place. Verse 3, if we send away the ark of Elohe Israel, do not send it empty. 7387, but surely return him a compensation. 817, then you shall be healed. 7495. Now the compensation was a sham, as a guilt offering. And you shall know why his hand would not depart from you. 5493. Depart, turn aside. Verse 4. Then they said, what is the compensation which we shall return to him? And they answered, 5 golden tumors, 2914, and 5 golden mice, 5909, as the number of the lords of the Pelishtim, because one plague, 4046, was on them, all your lords. Because he evidently sent mice to ruin the land too. They had a plague of mice. Verse 5, you shall make images, 6754, of your tumors, 2914. And images of the mice that ruin, 7843, the land. And you shall give to Elohe Israel honor, 3519. Perhaps, 194, he will lighten, 7043, his hand from upon you and from upon your gods. 430, and from your land. Why make heavy, 3513, your hearts, 3824, as the Mitzrayim and Pharaoh made heavy their hearts? 3820, in other words, don't be hard of heart. Don't try to strengthen your heart and try to defy Yahweh. They're warning him. When he dealt ruthlessly, 5953, with them, did they not let the people go, and they departed? Verse 7, now make a new cart, 5699, and take 2 cows, 6510, giving suck, in other words, nursing, cows that were nursing, 5763, upon which there has come up no yoke, 5923, and bind the cows to the cart, and return their calves, 1121, home from following them. Cattle were used as draft animals also. Verse 8, and take the ark of Yahweh, and put it upon the cart, and put the articles, 3627, of gold, which you return him as a compensation, in a chest by the side of it, and send it away so that it goes. In other words, they weren't going to open the ark. That would have been a complete disaster. They didn't touch that ark. They did touch it by the pole so they wouldn't die. And they put the offering in a separate chest. Verse 9. Pardon me. And if it goes the way to his territory, to Beth Shemeth, it was he who did this great harm. If not, we shall know that his hand did not smite us. It was a chance event, 4745, that happened to us. The men did so and took 2 cows, giving suck, no, nursing calves, and bound them to the cart, and shut up, 3607, their calves at home. In other words, they put them in a pen so they couldn't follow the mama cow. Verse 11. And they put the ark of Yahweh upon the cart, and the chest with the mice of gold, and the images of their tumors. Verse 12, the cows took the straight, 3474, way upon the way to Beth Shemeth, going along the highway, 4546. They turned them loose, and they went straight to Beth Shemeth, the house of the sun, lowing, 1600, as they went, you know, moo, and did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Pelishtim went after them to the border of Beth Shemeth. Verse 13, Beth Shemeth was reaping, 71:14, their wheat harvest in the valley, and lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. Verse 14, the cart came into the field of Yahshua, 3091, same as a prophet, same as a Messiah, a Beth Hashemeshi, a Beth Shemite, 1030, and stood there where was a great stone. And they split the wood of the cart and offered up the cows for a burnt offering to Yahweh. Verse 15, the Lewium, and they were the only ones who were allowed to touch the poles and such. The Lewium took down the ark of Yahweh and the chest that was with it, in which were the articles of gold, and put them on the great stone. And the men of Beth Shemeth offered burnt offerings and sacrifices the same day to Yahweh. They rejoiced, in other words. And when the five lords of the Pelishtim saw, they returned to Ekron the same day. Verse 17, and these are the golden tumors which the Pelishtim returned as compensation to Yahweh for Ashdod 1, for Azah 1, for Ashkelon 1, for Gath 1, for Ekron 1. And the golden mice as the number of all the cities of the Pelishtim of the five lords, of fortified cities and unwalled villages, to the great stone upon which they set down the ark of Yahweh to this day in the field of Yahshua, the Beth Hashemeshi. Verse 19, smitten were the men of Beth Shemeth because they looked into, oh no, they opened it, the ark of Yahweh. Smitten of the people were 50,070 men, and the people mourned because smote Yahweh the people with a slaughter greatly. They opened the ark. Oh. So he killed 50,070 men. The men of Beth Shemesh said, who is able, 3201, to stand before Yahweh, the Elohim, the Holy, and to whom shall he go up from upon us? Verse 21, they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kiriath Yearim, saying, the Pelishtim have returned the ark of Yahweh. Come down and take it up to you. And that ends chapter 6. The Pelishtim were smitten for having the ark. They weren't Israelites. They weren't allowed to have that. And then they sent it back with all these gifts. And they had tumors. Now, 2914 is a word change for the tumor in chapter 5, 6076, Ophelim. 2914 comes from the root tekor, meaning tumors from dysentery, straining at stool. Where did these tumors occur? That's an easy guess. And that is why many translate both 2914, Tekorekem, Tekorehem, and 6076, Ophel, tumors, mounds, hills, piles, as hemorrhoids. and that with some validity, I must say, even though both are literal tumors, the physical location of such as defined by the root for 2914 to core is the key to this translation. I will stick with the literal tumors for accuracy, but the background root does not totally rule out hemorrhoids in the case of 2914. 6076 is still definitely tumors. It has no connection with the hemorrhoids. Yahweh really hit the Philistines. Wherever the ark went, people broke out with tumors, and mice ravaged their foodstuff. In Deuteronomy 28:27, Ophelim 6076 are listed in the plagues upon Egypt. Same as what they did to the Egyptians. They had tumors or hemorrhoids as well. And verse 19 shows clearly that the ark was not to be tampered with, even by Israelites. Opening the ark was a truly stupid thing to do, and it cost them 50,000 plus men dying. And just really really stupid stuff to do. So they got hit. These are all short chapters. I got four chapters in tonight and still have a little bit of time to preach a little bit. People of Israel, that be us, have been doing some equally stupid things over the years. We have allowed our nation here in America and Great Britain and every place else the Israelites are to be polluted and perverted and infiltrated and just basically ravaged by, I'm going to say this as a joke, human hemorrhoids. two-legged hemorrhoids that have plagued us. And, it's all coming to pass. I'm recording this on a day when there's all these threats of violence for the inauguration. We're going to see what comes of that. We are seeing increasing violence in our lands, plural lands, not just here in the U.S., but all over. It's just an ongoing thing, and it's going to come to a head soon, I think, folks. Please prepare spiritually, prepare your family spiritually, and get yourself physically prepared to food, water, medical supplies. If you have any kind of medical problems, have the medication necessary for a good period of time, because I think these people might go just crazy. They're doing all kinds of violence to our people, and they don't need an excuse. Just the color of our skin is enough. Okay, that sets them off. And Yahweh's got a hand on this. He is going to deal with it. We don't have any control over it, but he does. And he is the mighty one, and he will deal with these devils that are plaguing us. So hang tight and have faith in Yahweh and obey His rules. Keep His feasts. Love your family. Love your Israelite neighbor as yourself. And get out of those Judeo-Christian churches. And, you know, if you can pull your kids out of the public fool system, you need to do that too. But when this hits and things really start to get bloody, you may have to take off, white brethren. You can't stay in the cities. They're going to be a wasteland. That will be a death trap for you. You can replace a house, but you can't replace your life or the lives of your family. You may just have to leave all your stuff and go. That's why they call it a tribulation. Okay? It's not nice. It's not pleasant. I don't like bringing this to you. The whole concept is bad to me. I'm not gloating over this. This is no victory for me, but it's going to be a victory for Yahweh. And it's going to be so bad that only Yahweh can deal with it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. We can't fight military power, not with small arms. Don't do stupid stuff and go out and take to the streets with a rifle or a pistol, because they'll just shoot you down and you won't really accomplish anything. You may kill a couple of them, but that's not going to win. That's a waste of a good Israelite life. Yahweh will fight for us and will give us the power to fight. And when Yeshua Messiah comes back, He is going to utterly, absolutely utterly destroy all of these people, and every government will fall. Not just our government here, but every government on the planet. Simultaneously, can't stand before Yeshua. His righteousness will overwhelm them, and the period of grace will be over then. No more grace. It's done. If you haven't made your choice by the time He gets back, you're hit. That's why I keep telling you, spiritual first. Physical second. Get right with Yahweh. Make your peace with Him. Ask Him to forgive you. Proclaim Yeshua, your Redeemer. You can't just do it privately. You're going to have to do it publicly. You're going to have to say, I am a Christian. Yeshua is my Redeemer. I am an Israelite. I believe and live this faith. And you're going to have to do it. You can't keep on keeping on like you're doing. Because lip service just won't get it. It says in Scripture, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Running up to an altar in some Judeo-Christian church doesn't save you. Because repentance comes before salvation. And to repent means you have to stop doing what you were doing and put off the old man and put on a new man. And change your lifestyle. You can't keep the same lifestyle and worship things and stuff. You have to worship Yahweh and obey His laws. Well, I'm running closely out of time here. So I will say Shalom Aleichem to all of you. That's peace be with you. And may Yahweh bless and keep you. And I will talk to you on Monday. Praise Yahweh.